With the diet thing, because I spoke to Charlie McGrew, he talked about Ronnie Dyla's diet was like
that. Look as if I've been on a diet.
But how bad was the diet thing? What was it? Breadcrumbs instead of batter on the fish?
No, do you know something? I can actually tell you a funny story about that. That season, I think when you look back, I mean, I went. You're just going back, and you know you feel as if there's a new manager coming in. Need to impress. Need to hit the ground running. You know, I went and worked really, really hard over the summer, and I felt as if, you know, I'm in good nick. You know, I think even when you look back at some of the pictures as well, you know, I was in good, you know, thin for me. But I wasn't scoring. I didn't feel right. I just felt lethargic. There was nothing about me. You know, and I probably took away from what I was. You know, rather than having the self drive of I'm going to succeed for myself, I started worrying about what Paul Le Guin was worrying about, what other people were worrying about, what, you know, and I started taking away from I'm going to run about, I'm going to do it. It wasn't me. You know, people are built different, that's the way you are. And I think when Walter came in, one of the first conversations I had with him, we sat down and he said, I don't know what you've been fucking doing, son, but you better get back in the burgers and Chinese. But you know, I think when you look back, it's managing the individual. Totally. You know, when you try to impress too much, when you try to do something that's not the norm for you, you know, it breaks down eventually. Yeah. You know, and for me, I think that I was focused on, you know, trying to do something that wasn't me, because, you know, people were moaning about you're not running about, you know, thing to, you know, as I've said before, we had plenty of people at the club who ran about that scored 5 goals. You know, I didn't run about and scored 30.
What do you want?
What one do you want? So it was one of those things where I had to get back to looking after myself and doing what suited me. If that wasn't good enough for the manager, then I would have moved on. But as I said, for me, you know, I was lucky enough that my relationship with Walter was good. I knew, you know, at first you're raging that you get left out the bigger games and that. But you know, I think when you actually mature and you look back and you start to break down things, I think, the older you get. And for what we were in Scotland, we were the opposite when we were in Europe. You know, you're totally dominating games, we were creating chances, we were doing this, we were doing that every week. And you were getting the ball in the net, you're scoring goals. But in the European games, it was back to the wall, you know, and a lot of it, you know, you only need to look at results and that backs that up in terms of how many times did we, you know, hold on for a draw and nick it in penalties, or, you know, scrape through with away goals or whatever, you know. So it was difficult at first for me to try and get that into my head that I'd scored 2 goals at the weekend. I'm not going to play Tuesday, Wednesday night, but I'll be back in on the Saturday. But I think towards the end, I got my head round about it. And you know something, for me, it was a big learning curve for me. It was difficult and there was problems along the way. But, you know, the conversations I've had with Walter since I've left, I think it just proves the fact that you want to play football, you just want to do your best. You know, and I think sometimes it's not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I think I've played with a lot of people who are happy not to play. They'll come in, they'll take their wage and they'll go home. You know, and for me it just wasn't me. I wanted to play every game. You know, and the flip side of that as well, there was players who never played on the Saturday, who played on the Tuesday, never played on the Saturday. You know, international players, Charlie Adam, Lee McCulloch, you know, when he first came at first, or the gaffer now. You know, even DeMarcus Beasley, you know, they've all got international caps. But they were the opposite from, you know, myself.
Just the last bit on Le Guin, do you think it was after he stripped Ferguson of the captain, was that the final straw, do you think?
Yes, but I think it was a ploy. You know, I genuinely... I knew he wanted to leave. You know, I think when the whole thing kind of changed round about winning international weekends, September, October weekend, you know, we were meant to be in, and the next thing we were off and everybody went back to Paris, and you hear what's going on inside the building, and we all knew he'd already agreed to go to PSG. Funnily enough, when he left Rangers, that's where he went. You know, I think that, you know, Fergie's Fergie, he just wants to win every game. He wants to win everything, he wants to, you know, and that's what the most annoying thing and hot thing for him was, that as I said, you're going to places and you get praised for drawing. You just, you know, it wasn't like that. That wasn't the Rangers, you know. And I think when you start to hear the whole everything about it, of he doesn't really want to be here, and you know that mean, I know the garage were already all packed up, my guy ready to go, and you know, it wasn't right. You know, as I said, for me, fantastic coach, training was unbelievable, but I think it's probably the difference between a manager and a coach. You know, I think a lot of people like Leon forget that, you know, there was a director of football above it. You know, Paul, as I said, what he was really, really good at, going out on the pitch. You know, structuring teams to go and win games of football, but wasn't involved in the signings, wasn't involved in the politics. All of a sudden, you've now got the politics every day of Rangers Football Club, you know, from the media to upstairs to, you know, everything. You know, the spotlight's on you 24-7, and to be fair, I think he struggled to deal with that.
So was it a relief for the boys when a Scottish, you knew Walter Smith was coming, a Scottish manager who, like you say, you knew and trusted? And is he the total opposite of Le Guin? Whereas maybe not as much on the coaching.
Well, I think you just need to look at it. When you look at Walter over the year, it wasn't he, you know, would you ever say that the football, you know, we had really, really good players, but there might have been games where we were rubbish, but we won. And that's what it was. It didn't matter however you get there, just win the game of football. You know, as I said there, that the spotlight's on you 24-7. You know, the media's on you 24-7. So the good thing about everybody, you know, there's a lot of negatives with playing Rangers and Celtic, you know, the massive clubs in Scotland. But I think when you actually flip it the other side, in terms of if you go and lose a game on a Saturday, it stays with you all week. But if you win a game, it's forgot about as well, because you're then preparing for the next one, because it's done. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody just moves on to the next game. You know, and I think that was one of the good things with Walter, that as soon as the game was finished, it was like, that's it, done. You know, it'll be fish and chip paper, it'll be Sunday night, and there we go again. We'll be going again next week. If we can beat next week, these are all the worst players in Scotland again. So I think the drive and determination he brought, the willingness to win games of football no matter what. You know, I think you only need to look back at the amount of games we won late as well. You know, I think everybody goes on as well, renowned for Fergie time, added on time down the road. But you know, I think we're Rangers as well, that it was content, just go, because someday will crumble. You know, and that's what. I think back then there was a lot of teams beating the tunnel, because you know you were rolling out international stars every single week, and when you look back at some of the performances we've won, the run in Europe, I mean, it's fantastic to be part of it.
Who were the characters in that Rangers team?
Like there was loads. You know, I mean, I think at first when you went in, you know, I know it's God bless him now, Fernando, fantastic character, pain in the arse. Too much energy, but he was one of those guys who, when it was down, it was never down. Even if you get beaten training or you'd be in a bad mood, they would do something that would just make you laugh. You know, I think wee Jimmy Bell used to, you know, he'd be pulling his hair out. The jacuzzi's up the back door. The soap thing, it would be at his front door or the kit room door all the way through the dressing room, and you're like, then they'd need to phone somebody to come in and fix it. They would come in, by the time the guy's at the building, the soap's back in it and it's away again. But that was just Fernando. You know, there's you always need people like that.
Especially when you're under so much pressure
100%,
every day.
100%, you know, as I said, it lets you switch off. When you're laughing at somebody else, you're having a laugh and a joke. But, you know, there was loads of characters in a different way. You know, I think when David Weir came, it was a more professional manner. It was more, we'll have a laugh and a joke, but serious, time to work. And you know, and I think when you look at the signings that Walter made, they were all of that similar type. You know, yes, we would have a carry on, we would, you know, have a laugh and a joke. But when it came training time, when it came match day, it was total focus on winning that game of football.
How bad was his the hairdryer? Somebody said it was so strong that Carlos Queller used to use it on his perm. Was it? Were you ever on the receiving end of it?
Was I ever on the receiving end of it? No, really, no. To be honest. I mean, I can remember, I mean, the cup final was one of the funniest days ever. It was roasting. We're walking down the tunnel. I was like, it's fucking roasting it. It's too warm for football. Get in the dressing room, sat down. Too warm for football. Off you come. That was it.
Did he, eh?
That was it. Off you come. But see at the time you're like fucking delighted because it was, I mean, it was boiling, but you look back now and you're like, it's one of those things that, you know, we're fortunate enough to win and won the cup, but I could just remember, he didn't even need to speak half the time. You know, there was a few other ones. I think St Johnston one night, St Johnston. Me and Tomo got whipped off. I think we were 3-0 then or something. Didn't even, you off. They bother.
That's it.
You know, I think you don't argue with somebody like that. I think.
With no one ever argue back now.
You're never going to win, are you?
No.
You know, I think I've always been one where I think you can put up arguments and everything, but at the end of the day, when your manager's picking the team, there's only going to be one loser, isn't there? You will find yourself out of the team, and it's difficult to come back from. You know, as I said, in those days, we were carrying such a big squad. You know, there was international players all the way through it. If you didn't perform, you were out the door. So, you know, I think that was the big part of it, that there was never any arguments, there was never, you know, any bother. You know, it was just, you know, whatever he said, you just went, did.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And then obviously the UEFA Cup run, what's your thoughts of that? Great season.
Oh, it was fantastic, but you know, I think again, for me, that it was, I was like every Rangers fan. It was fucking brilliant to watch. I just had a better seat than the majority of them. But no, look, to be part of something that's pretty unique, you know, for I don't think it'll ever be done again in Scottish football. You know, I think that the big powerhouses of Europe are pulling away from everybody. You know, and to be part of that was pretty unique, especially that the whole occasion was unbelievable. Even though you didn't play, you know, in a lot of the games leading up to it, you know, I was fortunate enough to come on in the final, which, you know, there was a lot of people who had played, you know, prior to the final, but, you know, I think we were obviously beating the final and you're trying to chase it, trying to grab a goal or that, and that's probably why I came on. But there was a lot of people who played a lot of minutes, you know, beforehand that didn't go on in the final. So, I mean, I've always got that I did play in the final, even though we got the run around for 90 minutes, but to be fair, that Zenit team, they were a proper football team, and I think you only need to look at the players after that where they went and moved to, and for the money they moved for as well.
So, no playing a lot in Europe, but in 2009 you break the all-time record.
Yeah.
How was that for you? Did you ever think you'd achieve it?
Do you know something? It's not even something like now that when you're still playing, you know, because I don't think you can focus on something that's, for me, I'm not really one for looking back as it stands right now, in terms of what I've reached goal-wise, because, you know, I'm sitting here today still thinking I'm going to add to it. You know, so for me, it was brilliant, I think, because it, for the Rangers fans, it was something. But for me, you know, Henrik Larsson's a fantastic player, and I think we only need to look at what he done after even he left Celtic to realise how good a football player he was. You know, so the big thing for me, I'll never sit and say, you know, Chris Boyd's as good as Henrik Larsson. But for me, it's a proud moment to say that you are the top goal scorer in the league. You know,
do you feel you didn't get enough credit for it?
Like, I don't really think I'm one for going searching for credit. You know, I think if you can look yourself in the mirror and say, you know, I've done it, it doesn't really matter who else has seen it. You know, I know I've done it, and that's good enough for me. Yes, as I said, a lot of stick for Celtic fans saying, you know, you're no better than Larsson. Nobody said you were better than Larsson, did they? Do you know what I mean? It's you know, I think when you start to break down football and you look at things and everything, I think it's black and white. I've scored more goals than him. That's clear. But in terms of a football player, nowhere near it.